live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Make like a tree and get out of here. How about that? Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville at Everbank Field. Pete Prisco joins us on the line tonight from Fort Lauderdale in some studio, right? Pete, where are you?
I'm in the CBS building in the studio here, and got me all set up, and they took care of me, and we're ready to go, man. I'm anxious. Let me say something right off the top.
I can't wait. Yes.
I took a bunch of endless crap from people in this building because I picked the Jaguars to win that game.
Yeah, you had people turn Jaguars way, actually, and like the majority, right?
Yeah, and I'll say this because I'm astounded they didn't win that game. I'll be honest with you. I really am. And I know it was a bad showing, and we'll dive into it every way imaginable. Tony, did it look as bad on the tape as it looked when I watched it on TV?
On the offensive side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Well, I mean, Bortles didn't play very well, I didn't think, but there were drops. And, you know, it's just a variety of things. I thought Yeldon ran the ball well when he ran the ball.
Yeah, there was some good run game. I mean, there were some good schemes, and they blocked it up well. TJ Yeldon's a good player, I'll tell you that much. He can run the ball. He has great vision. He makes decisive cuts. He gets up in there, and he finishes with power. He played well. I thought Denard did some nice things. Showed some burst on the screen and some nice catches outside. I thought Rashard Greene, he had the one big drop in the when was that? That was in the first half down deep. I thought he played well.
That was a play Harper was on him, but he should have caught. He jumped, right?
No, he should have caught it. Yeah, hit him in the
right. But that was the play he jumped. Same
yeah,
play, right?
He jumped. Yeah. So for a rookie though, that was early. You know, I think he'll be fine. He had some nice plays, but just overall, Pete, there was no rhythm, and I blame a lot of that. You know, not making plays when they're there. You know, at that quarterback position, especially when you're young, it's about rhythm. And when you have early drops, some big plays where there's opportunities, I think you can get a little frustrated. And then the Carolina Panthers did some nice things scheme-wise, too, and I think they might – just from the film, I don't know exactly what they're trying to do, but maybe some confusion as far as where he wanted to go with the ball at times. But just overall, no rhythm, just didn't take advantage of things that were there. And that's – you're not – listen, this isn't a good enough team to do that. When the play – when the easy ones are there to be made, you have to make them. And that didn't happen.
You know what else showed up to me is, and we've said this all summer, is the fact that they don't have that guy, that vertical threat outside. And I know there were some drops and everything, but when you defend the Jaguars without Julius Thomas on the field, without Marquise Lee on the field, and I haven't watched the 22 tape yet, but it looked to me, just from the TV side of things, that there weren't a lot of fear down the field. And when you can defend a team like that, it makes it awful tough to get, you know, chunk plays.
But, Pete, chunk plays, they had three drops for 60 yards that hit the receivers between the numbers.
Yeah, I know that, Tony.
But for 60, those extend drives, you get three more plays. Those lead to points.
But I'm saying in the context of the entire game, I didn't think that there was a fear factor there.
Oh, okay, great. There wasn't a fear factor for the Carolina Panthers either. There's no one over there you're scared of.
Well, and they didn't exactly light things up offensively
either. Okay, I can go down there's a lot of teams that don't have – but
there was a lot of bad offense yesterday.
But that's why when you have to make plays that are there, Pete. That's all I'm saying. I agree with you that, listen, with no Marquise Lee, no Julius Thomas, you know, there's not a lot of things that are going to scare you vertically. But there are some good concepts in there, and there are guys that should have made plays. And I've just been in those situations where those things change – momentum, those big chunk plays, they just get you going. I mean, I remember Tom Coughlin used to say all the time, and I've heard many coaches say this: the NFL is decided by about five. Each game on Sunday, the close games are decided by about five or six plays. That's what determines who wins or loses at the end of the day. And you know, we didn't make them. The pick six obviously just kills you, and I still don't know. I didn't know what Blake was looking at when it was live and watching the tape. I mean, I think I could have made the interception. I mean, he was going to T.J. Yeldon from the start, and the corner sat, and it was good night, Irene.
I got a question about that, guys. The pick six happened, right? Second or third quarter. But the Jags' offense after that, three straight punts, another interception, and a turnover on downs. Those were the last five possessions of the game. They couldn't jumpstart anything after that. Why?
Well, I mean, you wonder if that bothered Blake a little bit, and so maybe he's hesitant of what he's seeing out there after that. That can happen to any quarterback.
Right.
There was some pressure in his face, and they got some penalties. They got behind and down in distance. There was a lot of little things that led to that.
I can't figure out what he saw on that. I would love – did he describe what he saw today?
I did not hear the press conference. And I don't know if Blake didn't talk, so I'm sure he'll get asked tomorrow.
But I mean, okay, you
or
go
Wednesday,
back
I should say.
And you don't even read it. You throw it. And then I looked at –
Pete, he was looking at – you look at the All-22, he drops back and is looking to his right at T.J. Yeldon from the snap.
And from the TV tape, Tony, it looked like there was a crosser coming across the middle that he could have hit for a decent gain in the middle.
I think that was green, yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's – you could have made a – yeah. He never looked to that side, though.
No, he predetermined – he didn't even consider anybody else in the play. He went right to him. That's why I don't understand – why he would even consider going there. There was nothing there. Even if he completes that pass, there's nothing there. It's not even something you would even try to go. I just can't figure out the thinking trying to go there. There was nothing there whatsoever.
It was 3-on-2 over there, Pete. Three defenders, two receivers. I don't have an answer. I mean, I didn't play quarterback in ninth grade. I'm not sure we had that read in last time I played the quarterback position, but I'm with you. Listen, it was so frustrating. It was frustrating calling the game because I for one, thought that this offense was going to pick up where it left off in the preseason, where they were very effective. They were very efficient. Even after Julius Thomas got hurt, they got the tight ends involved. I don't believe the tight ends were targeted one time. Zero targets.
Two targets to tight ends, one to Harbor and one to Jacobs, officially in the stat book.
Yeah,
none to Mercedes Lewis.
I don't remember the one to Harbor or – Nick Jacobs, but
either way,
there was almost,
no catches.
Yeah, it was interesting. Frustrating, I'll tell you that much.
The interception kind of reminded me, and I can't remember which one it was last year where we predetermined where he was going with
the
ball.
I think it was against Miami.
Yeah, against Miami. He did the same exact thing, and the corner sunk, and he threw it there. That to me, I don't know. It's mystifying to me when guys throw. You can, forgive a guy if he throws into the middle and a guy makes a great play and steps in front of it, but predetermining, which is exactly what he did in that situation, he predetermined where he was going with the football and was going there no matter what, and I just can't figure out why he not allowed to get out of the play? It's just mystifying to me that was such a bad interception.
No, I highly doubt that the play design is from Greg Olsen, no matter what, throw it over there.
Well,
because guys are on the other side of the field running routes. So I got to believe that coverage dictates which side you start the progression from.
Well, the coverage should have dictated he looked there and came right back to the left. That's what it dictated.
Well, 6 points later, it didn't.
That's right.
6 points later and game over, basically.
It was an eight-point game at that point.
Yeah, but the way they were playing on offense, and you mentioned it, JP, they went, down and out after that. So, yeah, I can understand that.
But the part of this is still a young overall offense, right? I mean, this is – I know that you're tired of that excuse, Tony. You're shaking your head right now.
But at some point,
this group's got to grow up and get past something like that, right? Overcome that pick six and
realize
it is.
Forget about getting over the pick six. You got to go make plays.
Right.
I mean, listen, these guys are good football players. Allen Robinson's a good football player. Go make plays. Catch the ball. He's talented. He's big. He's fast.
You know, it was weird, Tony, to me in watching it. It didn't look like it was like jailbreak up front or anything either.
No.
There was some pressure.
Yeah, there was some pressure, but a couple of those, I think, were on Blake. One time, I'll say this. I think it was in the late third quarter, and the Carolina Panthers have an all-out blitz. And the Jaguars did a great job. The front picks it up. Yeldon picks it up. They got man coverage. And Rashad Greene just abuses does a great job, gets open, and Blake never looks there, and just he looks to the left and then immediately tucked it and started trying to run. I don't know if that was – it was. I'm sorry, it was in the start of the fourth. Sometime in the fourth quarter. I don't know if that's because of what happened with the pick, and all of a sudden now he's like, oh, you know, you get in the back of your mind, you're not comfortable, you made a mistake, maybe a little hesitant. But he got down and ran the ball really quick. And that's not something we've seen in the preseason, and we didn't see it in the first half because there was an opportunity to get to the other side. And, I mean, it was one-on-one coverage, and Rashad Greene separates, get the ball to him on the run, and it's a big play. Or maybe it was Allen Hurns. It was Allen Hurns who won on the backside of the route.
Even like the throw, was it to Hurns, that should have been a touchdown. I mean, make a better throw there. He caught, yeah, and Hurns.
Well,
Hurns, I mean, Hurns could have scored, should have scored, anyways, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's trying to throw it away from Roman Harper, who's on the hash and is breaking towards it. So I understand. I mean, I'm fine with that throw.
It wasn't a bad throw,
no.
But it could have been a better throw.
Yeah. But now you're getting nitpicky. I mean, give me a break.
I'm nitpicky. You know me. I'm a quarterback.
But that's ridiculous, Pete. I mean, now
no,
you're
not.
Being. Now,
that
now
wasn't a great throw.
Now, it wasn't a bad throw. Now you're being stupid.
No.
I mean, we
no,
just
not.
Talked. Yeah, you're being stupid because he threw a 40-yard corner route and hit him right in the hands, and Allen Hurns catch it. Let's not get picky on the ones we do right, Pete.
I'm picky on everything, Tony. You know that. I pick everybody, particularly quarterbacks. And I'm with you. I thought. In fact, I predicted it would be his coming out party, and it wasn't. It was far from it.
Final numbers for Blake: 22 of 40, 183 yards, a touchdown. Ooh. And the two interceptions, a rating of 54.5
Oof.
In the opener for 2015.
Too many passes?
How many total plays? How many rushes do they have?
21 attempts on the ground, including the Bortles runs.
Yeah, I would have liked to get and maybe they're, in fairness to them, I think they will, you don't want to give T.J. Yeldon too big of a load early. You got Gerhardt hurt. I would have liked to see him run the ball a little bit more with Yeldon. But maybe they want to get him in shape. Because that kid can run the ball. And they were blocking fairly decent up front, too.
Yeah, I would have run the ball a little more. You know me, I'm a pass guy, but I think it seemed like he was getting some numbers and had opportunities. I think I would have run it a little more.
And it
wasn't a blowout. I mean, they were in the game.
Especially with that defense. Now, listen, the Carolina Panthers' offensive line is not very good.
Michael Orr, I call him, forget about the blind side, he's the turnstile.
Let's just be clear. But. That group, you know who played well is Tyson Alualu.
He looked like it.
He
like
played
he's in
well.
The backfield a bunch. Too,
I mean, he played well. Roy was Roy, just shoving the center all over the place. I was happy. Clem came out and looked like fresh legs and had some nice rushes and even had a couple, one big batted ball and some pressure, a sack.
Had a sack.
Yeah, he played well. Scooted in some nice things. I thought the front seven for the most part played pretty well.
I'll tell you what, if I was a pass rusher, and this week they get Texans, so J.J. Watts, he's going to go over the wounded animal, but I'd like to – he made Scooter look like a big-time pass rusher, Michael Orr. He's bad, don't he? Can you believe
JJ
that?
J.J. Sack might have 10 sacks after this week.
It's the first
quickest guy to 10 sacks.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and you know what, Tony? I'll say this. We've talked a lot about this, but the line play around the National Football League is pathetic. And it's getting worse by the week. That was bad. It's unreal how bad the line play is.
Well, we'll talk about that later as we go around the league because I watched one good left tackle last night. I'll tell you that one. That kid's better than he was last year.
Tyron Smith.
He is good.
Let's take our first time out on Jaguars Monday. Come see Blake Bortles and the Jags face and Dominican Sue and the Dolphins this Sunday, September 20th, 4:05 start. Special seats recently released by the team. Get your tickets now at jaguars.com/tickets. More on the Jaguars 20-9 loss to the Carolina Panthers coming up. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think we dropped four balls. Three of those could have been explosive plays. So again, things that we can control. We are good enough to catch a ball. We do it in practice. We need to carry that over to the game field. And when we do that, we'll get more explosive opportunities. So, I think that's where we learn where we're at.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley earlier today, the day after the Jags fall to the Panthers 20-9. Jaguars Monday, JP Shattuck, Tony Boselli. Pete Prisco is with us on the line from Fort Lauderdale tonight, and you'll be shocked by this, Pete. Tony has brought food into the studio only for himself.
I love, before we get my food
yes.
eating, That's one of the favorite quotes I've heard all season. It's early, though. We are good enough to catch the ball.
That's just what you said earlier.
I know, but I wasn't at the press conference, but you said that Gus was very kind of straightforward. It's like he's saying, listen, we got to catch the ball. We're good enough to catch the ball. I mean, that's how basic it was. And watching that tape just now, I was like, listen, I'm not saying they were, you know, they played good enough to put up 30 or anything. But there was plays there to win the game.
Yeah, it's not like they got blown out and were out of the game. Yeah, that's for sure.
Now, if you're Carolina, you can say, wait a second, Ted Ginn Jr. dropped a touchdown when no one was covering him on a cover two, and Sip doesn't get off the hash. And Ted Ginn Jr. is running wide open. So, I mean, they could make the same comment, I guess.
You know what I can't wait for tonight? The calls.
Yeah. We'll get to those a little bit later. The phone lines.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we might not be taking them tonight, Pete.
We're taking them.
I don't know if my blood pressure can handle it.
Well, we'll get to the calls coming up.
It's a health issue.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to those about the second hour of tonight's show starting at 7 o'clock. We had just started defensive talk before the break. So let's go back to that defensive front again. There was a lot of focus on pass rush and getting turnovers. Well, they got some pass rush and they got a turnover yesterday. Posluszny had the interception. But like you said, Chris Clemens comes out with fresh legs, plays well on that Leo spot yesterday.
Yeah, you just hope I thought he played very well. I thought he was running around, flying around, did a good job in the run when he was in there. Give him credit. You know, that was a big question mark going into the game. It was a question mark all preseason. You know, I think he's, 13-year guy now? What were those 12-year guys? What were those legs going to be like after, you know, pretty much missing all the offseason, missing training camp? He really had to come to camp to get himself in shape. And he's done that, and he played very well. And the team needed that. I mean, this defense needs him to be able to rush the passer. And he showed up, as did Dan Scuda.
You know what? Maybe nobody needs to practice in training camp anymore. Because
Did you watch offense this week on the NFL?
Yeah, but I'm saying that,
maybe we need to hit a little bit more.
Or veteran players can take.
Maybe we should block a little bit better. Well, the league has forgot that you're allowed to block.
You can't block, and and look how many quarterbacks threw for under 200 yards this week. It's incredible, and I agree with you, Tony. I think. Well, it starts with the offensive line, but the rhythm and the Jaguars weren't alone in that. Everybody in Jacksonville thinks it's just Jacksonville, it's just the Jaguars, but that's not the case. I sat in that green room and watched every game yesterday, and it was, you know, the great teams, the good teams, all of them, they had problems on offense.
Aaron Rodgers threw for under 200 yards.
Peyton Manning and Eli Manning didn't throw touchdown passes. It's the first time since 2006 that's happened when both have been on the field.
Peyton and under 200. Your boy, your man.
Oh, that's one game.
I'm not saying. It just looked rough, Pete.
And Jameis, here, it's overreaction Monday. We'll get into all that.
Marcus
just like
Mariota, he was in rhythm.
Yeah, but if you look at it, look how it happened.
I'm joking. Just move on. I don't want to talk about this.
But you know what? I'll say this, though. I bet the overreaction in Jacksonville is this team's going 0-16.
Oh, yeah.
Dave's terrible. Mm-hmm. Gus is awful.
Oh, they're firing everybody. Yep. They're firing everybody.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's a guillotine today is what it is.
Well, who got the worst of it?
You know, I think it was a mix, actually.
Blake?
It was like all of that. Blake got a little. It was a lot on the play calling. That was the big angst today, I think.
Where offense. Was the complaint on the play calling?
They went away from the run, no tight ends. You name it, they said it today. That's how it goes on a day like this.
I'll be honest with you, I was so frustrated when I woke up. I can't even imagine the coaches and the players. I mean, we do radio. I mean, my goodness. But I didn't even want to read the paper. I didn't. I didn't listen to sports talk radio. I didn't read the paper. I didn't want
to. You did too, Coach.
I did not. I did not today.
Coach Pacelli.
Pete, and I'm actually just opened up Jacksonville.com because I'm going to read some articles now.
For the first time.
First time. I have not looked at anything.
It's 6:30.
I know. I couldn't do it. I was so frustrated. I was tired. I was just like.
You sound like Papa Coughlin, by the way.
And I didn't want to listen to sports radio because I knew I actually was listening to 1010, Dan and Jeff, for about 5 minutes. And they were getting ready to open the lines for callers. I said, I can't do it. I can't do it today. I don't want to hear. I know everyone's frustrated, and rightfully so. I mean, there was hope going into that game tomorrow to start off the season 1-0. in a division that's not very good, proven by the play yesterday, overall. And it just let the wind out of the sails. I mean, this play, and you could feel it in the stadium. I had friends in the stadium that came the game I was talking about afterwards, and they said it was a mutiny after that, you know, in the second half of the fourth quarter after they kicked it up to go.
One game. It's just one game.
Oh, Pete, you and I both know that. I'm just saying I understand the frustration level, though.
And as riled up as you were when you got in there, God help us if you had listened to all that stuff today.
I couldn't do it.
Oh, he'll get riled up when the calls start, too. Get ready. It's coming.
I mean, just all of it. Ugh. It was but I'll say this. It's a short week in the NFL, meaning that Sunday's around the corner, and you better put it behind you. You better forget about it, and you better learn from it, and you better come play better because the team they're playing on Sunday is better than the team they just played.
It is better. They're better on offense. They got a better – well, I don't know if they have a better defense, but they're better. There's no doubt they're better on offense, and it's going to be a challenge. But this is what happens in this league, Tony. Bad teams look bad in week one, and another team will look good, and then the other team will bounce back. Look, I'm not picking Jacksonville to win this week, but it wouldn't shock me at all. And let's not forget, Miami's playing back-to-back road games outside the division, which is always tough, even if it's a short trip. And, you know, everybody says, oh, it's a short trip. They're just going up. It's still a road game. You're not in your routine. You're on the road. You got to load up. You got to get on a plane. You got to do it. You know what I mean? So it'll be a challenge for Miami. And they didn't exactly light things up last week either, this week against Washington.
No, it took a special teams touchdown to win the game. It was a 10-10 ball game, and that offense didn't do anything against the Redskins' defense.
Which isn't very good. And surprisingly, the Redskins ran on Miami. So it'll be interesting to see how Jacksonville does. Now, Joakim's out for how long? What's the status?
No report. I saw the injury on the tape.
They said it's just a sprain, and it's not severe. So that's the latest we have on
that. Well, he came back in after the initial injury.
Yes.
and then couldn't continue.
That's
correct?
Right. He tried to go, couldn't finish. You look at the play, he's working, I believe, against Mario Addison, number 97, who had a very good game, by the way, for the Panthers. He rushed the passer really well. And Luke was trying to brace himself and was getting pushed back a little bit, planted his outside foot, which is his left foot, in the ankle. You saw it.
Yeah,
you came in and looked at it, and his completely rolls, and the ankle's on the turf. You know, it was a good ankle roll. Not high, though. You could tell by the way it was done. It was not a high ankle. It's a lateral ankle. So it's just how the swelling and how they can manage the swelling and the pain. And maybe he's ready this week. I'd be shocked if he misses more than one game.
How was his play before that?
Average.
Okay. Because it didn't look great on the TV.
Average. Yeah. Mario Addison was getting after him a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and how about the rest of the offensive line?
At times they all look good. At times they all look pretty average. And so they were about like the rest of the offense. I thought protection for the most part was – I think they ended up giving up five sacks, they said. Was
that
the number?
Four in the second half.
Yeah. Two or three of those are coverage sacks on the on the quarterback receivers. A couple were just flat getting beat. So, better. Listen, Pete, better than last year. I mean, much better than last year. But still can be better according to, the guys they have and the talent they have. The whole group can play better.
They need to. The whole offense needs to play.
Thanks,
better.
Pete. That's great insight by you. And CBS pays you for that kind of insight.
Angry guy today. He's bitter. He's angry. He's testy. He's miserable. All of the above.
Oh, Coach, it's getting worse now. I'm reading the worst, dumbest. Absolutely, I've said this, Pete. When you were at the Times Union, and the fact that the paper puts us in
the grades.
No, what's worse than the grades on Monday?
Oh, God.
Monday morning quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that they let people just come in and vent.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable. I remember, there's wins and they vent. And they're not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's
But you got to remember, Tony, the people who call that and put their stuff in, they're the guys that will call. The angry people will put their stuff in. People who are happy and content won't call.
Like this guy from Middleburg.
Pathetic. Read it.
All preseason hype about the improvement was nothing but ticket selling. Same old team. Team is too weak and undisciplined. Tired of hearing they're young and improving. Predictable play calling. This guy must write in every week for the last 20 years because someone always says, I don't care if you score 30. It's predictable play calling and drop balls. Oh, gosh.
Nobody's happy.
No improvement. Same old tired play. Same old leaky defense. The defense played well. Same old result, a loss.
The Carolina wasn't exactly good on offense.
Okay, but they did. They held them to.
They didn't put up 40 points on them.
They held them to 13 points, Pete. Right. 13.
I get it.
In this league, if you give up 13 points, you should win.
I agree. But Carolina's not very good on offense.
I hear you. You knew this was coming, Pete. Hey, Caldwell, you still think Trey Scobie was a brilliant move?
Well, Scobie was so good on Thursday night.
I know, but you knew that was coming. As soon as the kid missed the kick, I was like, oh, here we go.
I mean, he did miss some kicks. I mean, that's an
issue. I agree.
Yes.
He missed the extra point. Yes.
But forget the extra point. The field goal kind of gets them rolling a little bit there, too.
The next point, you go in tied 10-10. It's a different feeling. So we got to go to break, Pete. We'll come back to you later.
We'll come back in a
got
moment.
Got angry guy tonight. Coach is angry.
He's
got
to get some food in him, Pete. It's right here in front of him.
Well, you know what else, too? His high school team lost to my boy. He's
USC,
just angry guy. Yeah. USC won, but he's just an angry guy. He's an angry guy today.
He is. You'll never miss a Jaguars kickoff when you ride the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Service begins 2 hours before the game and runs until 1 hour after the game ends. The JTA Stadium Shuttle, your ride to Jaguars action. Phone lines opening up in a little bit. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Tony is ready. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Defensively, I thought we played pretty well, very well. Matter of fact, against the run, did a nice job against a really good rushing team. I thought we played the pass pretty well. For the most part, there was tight coverage on the passes. The sudden change, we count on three sudden change opportunities where Carolina had the ball in really good field position. Thought we handled the sudden change as a defense, handling adversity defensively, did very well, and great effort. Really, really good, strong effort. I thought there was some sloppiness in technique at times and fundamentals, but our effort showed up and compensated well for it.
Head coach Gus Bradley earlier today after the Jags fall 20-9 to the Carolina Panthers in week one. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. It's Jaguars Monday.
I agree with that. I agree with him with the defense. Losing to Aaron Colvin does hurt.
Yeah, when he was off,
they're not as good with D-Mac out there right now, Demetrius McCray.
Right. And Colvin said today that he seems to be okay, and he'll try to play this week.
But I thought the defense played hard. You know, you could tell they got tired at the end of the game. Too many three and outs by offense. They're on the field a lot. I mean,
that long 8-minute drive.
Well, that was their own fault. They got to get off the field.
Three third down conversions.
That was a killer. Yep. Pete, as you were watching, we were calling the game, and they had backed up. It was an 8-point game. They backed up the Panthers on the 10-yard line, deep in their own territory. First down, stop, run. Second down, stop, run. Third and 10. And confusion. Gus calls a timeout right before the snap. The play goes on. They get stopped, but it should have been whistled dead. But anyways, and we said at the time, and I said it, I hope this doesn't come back to haunt us, because so many times when you give a team a second chance, they make the most of it, and they ended up completing that pass. And from there, it went 8-minute drive and really sealed the fate of the Jaguars yesterday was that drive.
You know, it's amazing when you think about it. Just in 1 week, we were sitting there a week ago talking about how this team had switched from being a defensive team to an offensive team.
Not so fast, my friend.
Right. A week later, here we are sitting here saying they're bad on offense and the defense played good. So, again, it's one game, but right now you gave all the accolades to the defense because they played good.
They were the better unit.
They played
winning football. How about that? Was it against a great offense? No. But you hold anyone in the NFL to 13 points, you should win the football game.
Correct. And you got to get more points. It's been a theme around there for a long time. The offense has to score touchdowns. They don't score touchdowns. They have to.
Can I read one more Monday morning quarterback?
This is
my favorite.
This is what the calls are going to be like, by the way.
No, so but this one's great. Some guy, David from Jacksonville, says, it wasn't a complete loss for me in my 58 years of life. I've never witnessed a missed extra point in an NFL game.
So he's being a smart ass. Yeah, what he's being.
It was pretty good though. So
it brought some excitement about the extra points, don't you think?
Four misses. Four of them. There's only eight all of last year. Four in week one.
Yeah, I think it brings some excitement into it, and it brings some strategy into it as well. I mean, you know, I'm a big strategic guy. You know that. I love playing
you
the strategy
are.
Game.
You like chess, not checkers.
Yeah, and I don't get mad when I don't go nuts on a Monday after you know teams lose in 1 week like you do. But that's
how have I gone nuts, Pete?
You've been going nuts all day today. You've been there for 45 minutes and you're going nuts.
I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed because I was expecting more out of our offense. That's all. That's all, Pete.
Your
problem is you're not invested in anything. You're not invested. I'm invested.
I'm invested in me.
I know. That's why you're not disappointed about anything unless it's, you know, nothing bothers you. It's all about you.
No, there's a lot of things that bother me. I mean, they bother me to the point where I'll critique them and analyze them. But am I?
It doesn't make you. It doesn't change how you feel or anything. It's like, whatever. Let me just critique them, and it is what it is. And as long as I'm getting paid, I'm good.
Pretty much, yeah. That's pretty much you got it spot on. But, I mean, like, I'm invested in Arizona State football. When they lose, I'm not going to go nuts like you
went
today.
First of all, you're not invested in Arizona State football. You wrote them off after week one.
That's what I mean. Until they start winning titles, I write them off. I mean,
that's not being invested, Pete.
Fair weather. Yes,
no, it's not fair weather. That's reality. Why do I care about some crappy bowl game? I play for I want to win it all. I don't care. It's just like, you know, going to the playoffs in Jacksonville, that would be a good thing. It'd be a great thing. In most spots, that's not enough. Is going to the playoffs enough in Cincinnati?
No, they need to win a playoff game.
Right. So it's different levels. And so, yeah, I'm invested in Arizona State football, but they almost lost to Cal Poly Saturday night, Tony, just to give you a little refresher on that.
Pete, what was the biggest disappointment for you watching that game yesterday?
Blake Bortles, first and foremost, 100%. And I didn't like some of the things, and I haven't watched the tape again, but just on the TV, I didn't like some of the things I saw in the pocket. I saw movement that didn't need to be there, and holding the ball again in some situations. I don't know. It didn't look smooth and didn't seem to be in a rhythm like he was in the preseason. And you said there was some coverages and some disguises that may have got him. But for whatever reason, it wasn't a guy that looked comfortable playing the position. In fact, he looked uncomfortable playing the position. I don't think he ever looked entirely comfortable at all during that game, at all. And even, you know, when he missed a couple shots and he had some drops, and I could see the frustration building on that, but it just didn't look right for some reason. I don't know why. And maybe the tape will show that they did, you know, show him one thing and show too deep and come down and maybe play robber and confused him, and he was trying to go here and he didn't know where to go once he got there, because it didn't. That's the biggest, most glaring thing of the whole game is I expected him to go for 275, two and three scores, and it wasn't anything close to that.
Yeah, he's going to have to pick up the pace if he's going to get my 3,600 yards this year.
Yeah, you might want to revisit that one there.
He's going to have to pick up the pace. We're behind schedule right now, Blake. We're behind schedule.
And not to mention the 35 touchdowns.
We're a little behind schedule. A little behind schedule.
He got one, though.
All right, we'll catch up. We'll catch up this week. Big week. I got a good feeling this week.
You do? Or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying that, Pete, if I'm being
honest. Of course you are.
Let's take a timeout on Jaguars Monday. If you're looking for a safe free ride to a Jags game from local bars and restaurants, the Big Cat Convoy provides you with a game ticket and a free ride direct to the game and back. Avoid parking fees and have a blast with your friends before, during, and after the game. Get your Convoy tickets now at jaguars.com/convoy. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We want to be a team that is aggressive, takes chances, and I didn't think I saw that right away in the beginning part of the game. Through passes, I think some of the passes, you know, with Blake, give the receiver a chance to make a play. And some of them were, you know, without even an opportunity for our receivers to make a play. And just overall, I think the passing game and the execution of it.
Gus Bradley talking about the passing game.
You're right.
Told you. It wasn't lying.
It was truth-telling Monday.
Yeah, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco's down in Fort Lauderdale with us live.
Tell the truth.
That just goes to the point we were just talking about. Blake just didn't look right, Pete. I mean, that's...
No, it almost was like it's a different guy than from what he was in the preseason. I know it's the preseason, but the other side of that is he's a guy that's usually a gamer. You know what I mean? Not necessarily a great practice player, but when the lights go on, he plays better. He seems to respond. And I thought, like, at the two-minute offense, wasn't he good in the two-minute offense?
They scored a touchdown, Pete.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
no
pretty
kidding,
good.
Tony. Geez, you're enlightening me today.
You're stating the obvious.
They scored a touchdown, but wasn't he good in it, okay?
Yes.
He was good in the two-minute offense.
So you think they go more hurry up?
I think he plays better in that style. And I'm not saying – you know, disband the running game and don't run the football. But I think he plays freer and looser.
Here's my problem, Pete.
They went run pass to open the game, did they not?
Can I just tell you my problem with what you're saying?
Yeah.
Literally, and I'll have Joe play back. 10 minutes ago, you said they need to run the ball more.
No, but
and
you
now you're saying you want them to go hurry up and spread it around and throw it more.
Tony,
Who
was the second-ranked running team in the league last year? The Philadelphia Eagles. They play fast. They throw it around. They spread people out. But they ran the ball. You can run the ball without being your 1944-style offense. You can run the ball. And I'm not saying don't run the ball. But did they not come out on the opening drive and go run, now go ahead, make a play? They put them in run, go make a play.
Pass, yes.
Yes, run, and I always call that run, go make a play. Because that's what you ask your quarterback to do. God forbid if you came out and you went, you got this young quarterback, let him play free and let him play loose, chuck the potato around a little bit and open things up, then come back to Yeldon, then pound it, then get it. They didn't do that. That, to me, I think this is a kid who plays better in situations where he's allowed to be freer and looser and up-tempo. And if you go back and look over his history, the data would probably back that up.
Well, I don't have the data in front of me, but I'll take.
But you've been around the game. You've been around the games. You know he's in in certain situations. He's been better when he's been up tempo. Come on, Tony.
But here's the whole thing with the offense. It's consistency. You got to be more consistent, and it goes back to making plays. They're not consistent right now at any position.
But why not make it easier on them?
How are you going to make it easier, Pete? I don't understand how it can be easier.
I can make it easier on him right out of the gate by not going run pass out of the gate. Don't tell me you didn't sit there and go, oh, this is the same old when you go run
okay,
pass.
Okay, I'll say this. First play of the game, run. I don't know what they call it, but it was a great design play. They had it blocked perfectly, and Wisniewski misses the linebacker. He blocks the linebacker. They're to the secondary, and it's a big run. Great call. So, I mean, what's wrong with that call? It's a perfect call. Got the defense they want, the look they want, didn't execute it. What do you want to do?
But then you come back.
It's about guys making plays.
You come back with another run on second down, then
yelling up the middle for 3 yards.
Well, because Pete, but you know this as well as everybody. These first 10 plays are scripted.
Well, why not script 2 passes to start the game or a pass to start the game?
They want to establish a run.
We talked about they need to establish a run all week.
I understand that's what they want to be, but I'm not so sure they're not better off playing.
Pete, if it's executed the right way, it works. And I'm not putting it on the coaches, all the players. I'm sure the coaches will look back. I'm sure Greg Olsen's sitting back and look, I should have called this, I could have done this, I could have done that. That's the nature of the beast after the game. You always go back.
You're going to dispute me that he doesn't play better when they play faster.
They played fast. They tried to play fast last year. It didn't go that well.
Yeah, they had a bunch of – come on, Tony. They had all kids and stuff. Now they're a year into
it. That's what you're basing it on, though, Pete.
No,
he's played one game this year. They didn't play fast at all. So you're saying he plays better fast. You're basing it on what he did last year.
And he played better? Yeah.
And he played better last year. No, he did not. That's
faster. He played better when he played faster last year. Yes, he did.
You forget, Pete.
And he also played better when they played faster in the two-minute offense yesterday, did he not?
That was one series, yes.
So what? It's the only damn series they score points.
That's not true.
Well, touchdown. So, yeah. Come on, Tony. You I know you. You want to go back
and on two other series, if they catch the ball, they're inside the red zone one time on the 1 yard line. They fumbled another time in the red zone. Don't tell me it's about playing fast. That's nonsense.
He plays better when he plays fast.
What do you base that on, Pete? You say that about everybody. What do you base that on, though? I want to know what evidence you base it on that he plays better fast. One series?
Well, you can base it for just this year. We have one game to go on. He scored his only touchdown playing fast.
Pete, if they catch the ball, he has 60 extra yards and they score.
Tony, you can say that in every game. If he did this, if he did that.
Pete, you show me games where it's between the numbers three times of the receiver and he drops it.
Run pass is a formula for being a bad football team.
Unless you win.
Unless you got the greatest one of the great defenses of all time, and they clearly do not, even though they played good on defense yesterday. Watch Chip Kelly's offense. I'm not a Chip Kelly.
Oh,
believe
here
me.
We go.
No.
You're like the rest of the media.
No.
You're all, oh, Chip Kelly's a genius.
No.
He's a genius.
He's
the greatest player ever. Oh, gosh, what he does. He's an innovator. Oh, gosh, it's great.
I'm not. You can run the ball and play fast. That's all I'm saying. You think you, in your outdated 1960s thinking, thinks you can't run the ball and play fast. That's what you think.
I don't think that, Pete. I never said that. I'm just saying you're basing this whole premise of play fast off one series.
This year, because that's all we got to go on. Last year, there were series where he played well in the two-minute offense.
And there were series he didn't.
Yeah, but he played better, I thought, in the two-minute offense. Right. You're just an old-school, stubborn football coach wrapped up in a big man's body. That's what you are.
And you're a knucklehead media guy who thinks he has all the dang answers.
I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you my casual eyes tell me he plays better fast. He looked tight yesterday and come out and go run pass. Of course you're going to be tight.
That's nonsense.
Run pass. I used to say that years and years ago. Run pass. Go make a play. Run. Third down and go make a play.
All right, we got to run to our break.
Yes, and
you're annoying tonight, by the way.
You're annoying. You are.
You're mad. You're acting like you're.
You know, you sound like one of the callers.
No, you sound like a guy who's going to put. You sound like you're going to put something.
Let's open up the phone lines. First call from Miami, Pete. What's your take?
Yeah, let's go to the Monday Morning Quarterback with Tony. It's one game at a time. We'll go one play at a time. It's not the scheme. You've got to make plays. It's on the players. You got to catch the ball. It's the same thing.
With that, we'll open the phone lines. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
From the HenneyAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Monday rolls along into Hour 2. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco joining us on the line tonight at CBS Sports Studios in Fort Lauderdale. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. I know you guys are pumped. Tony, I know you're ready. Pete, I know you're really ready for this.
I love the phone calls.
So
I can't wait. It's going to remind me of my old afternoon show every day.
Here we go to Paul in Mandarin to start us off tonight to talk about play calling. Hello, Paul.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I've been, you know, watching the message boards. I see Gus has taken a real hit, and I'm not sure how much of it's warranted, but the offense is really what let us down. I really feel like if you're a head coach, whether you're a defensive head coach or an offensive head coach, you need to kind of put your fingerprints on the team. And I think he's done a good job with that on the defense, a very good job. But on offense, I think he needs to be able to, you know, say, hey, look, you know, they're all pro, linebacker just goes down. Maybe we, you know, take a shot with Clay Harbor down the seam or on a wheel route. We didn't throw the ball over the top, I mean, but how many times? I don't know what was going on with the play calling in the red zone, but that's been the sore spot for years. You've got those two throws back-to-back where I don't know how tall he thought, you know, those wide receivers were, but why isn't that play going to a tight end there? Why don't you use Mercedes there on a corner route? You got a, you know, a 6'6" guy.
Well, on that play, they had Mercedes split outside, and it was Blake's option. He could have gone to the one-on-one matchup and throw a jump ball to Mercedes. So that's not Greg Olsen. That was in the game plan on that very play. He decided to go over to Rashad Green's side, and it was covered, so he threw it into the stands. That's why. But overall, listen, it's one game under Greg Olsen, so let's not overreact to what Pete's saying, which, you know, it's easy to overreact.
I'm not killing Greg Olsen, by the way. I'm just saying, in general terms, I think if they allow him to play faster, it might play better. He responds to
I think we should scrap everything we worked on in the preseason in training camp and just throw it all out and just go hurry up.
That's not what I said.
See if we can get Chip Kelly to come in and
that's not what put I said. That out. You're putting words in my mouth.
Let's throw everything out the window, Pete, because the very offense that everyone was saying, wow, this is awesome in the preseason, after one game, let's just scrap it.
No, I've been saying that since he came into the league. You know me, I always want to play. I always think teams should play fast. I'm just saying,
but that's what, I mean, that's all we're going to hear is play calling was terrible. And you jump on the bandwagon. Run, pass.
Did they not start with run, run, pass?
Yeah, it was a good call. The first call of the game was a great call. They missed the back linebacker. The center missed them. What do you want the coach to do?
Really go block it for him?
Would
it really have been that bad to start with a rifle shot into the middle of the field for 22 yards?
We had to catch it.
That's a whole other story.
They rifled three balls down the middle of the field, and they were dropped.
Why not start? It's a new offense, a new era.
I don't know if you watched the game. That didn't work too well.
A second-year quarterback. Try and show something on the first series.
You talk about overreaction Monday, and you're the king of it.
No, I'm not.
Right now, you're the king of it. You want to scrap everything they've worked on and say, let's just go hurry up. Let's become something we haven't practiced at all. Let's just start,
I didn't say anything
week
about
one,
starting
let's just
with a hurry
scrap
up.
It all.
That's not what I'm saying, starting with a hurry up. I'm saying I would start with a pass on the first two plays. That'd be maybe a nice thing to do.
I'll make sure I'll tell Ole that. Make sure you throw the ball first play of the game.
Hey, for all you know, maybe on the second, for all we know, maybe the second down play was a pass call. He checked to a run.
Possible.
Let's go to the next call. You're angry today.
Jason on the south side to talk about bad offense. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really think that things aren't going to change for this team until they stop giving plays away, giving opportunities away, and they start taking advantage of opportunities that they have.
Well, I agree. Yeah, we've been saying that the whole time. At the end of the day, you can draw up all the fancy, cute plays, play hurry up like Pete, and spread it around and throw the ball and do all these things. Guess how you win football games in this league? You block people, and you catch the ball, and you throw it to the right spot. That's how you win on offense. It's not that hard.
I don't want to be long-winded. I'll just say this. If they make the extra point, make the kick, they don't have the pick six, it's 13-10 in the fourth quarter.
Turnovers kill you. And you're right. I mean, turnovers kill you in this league. You can't turn the ball over like the way we did. We turned it over in the red zone. We threw a pick six. And then the last pick when, in desperation time, Blake gets hit and the ball flutters. So, yeah, can't turn the ball over in this league. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, appreciate the call.
Tony, you sure you didn't play defense? Because you're doing a lot of defending today.
He is doing a lot of defending.
How am I doing defending?
Because anything I say, you defend the team against it.
And that's not true, Pete.
Yes, it is. You're a defender. You're a defender. You must have been the defensive lineman.
He's
not
a protector is what he is. Yeah, he's a left tackle. It's in his blood.
No, I just call that as it is, Pete. That's all.
No, I'm calling it. You're calling it with teal glasses on. Is what you're calling it.
All right, let's go to the next call. Go to the next call.
Got him.
That means I got him.
Yeah. Johnny on the south side wants to talk kicking tonight. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, man.
So I think we all know we have some personnel issues with this team that won't be able to get addressed until after the season. But there's one position right now that can be addressed, and that's kicker. In my opinion, there's no reason for Jason Myers to still be on this team. He doesn't have what it takes to be an NFL kicker. You can look in his eyes. So I don't understand why.
Oh, you're looking in his eyes.
Because you saw him face to face.
Were you on the field?
Sunday.
I was close to the stadium, so I could see when he left, put his head down, he looked like he got in a car accident. It was really bad.
Okay.
I don't think that's a great point.
Good take.
Tony, I'll say this. It wasn't his eyes, but he looked unsettled. Let's put it that way. When he missed the first field goal, he looked unsettled.
What did Josh Scobie, one of the better kickers in this league for a long time, look like after he missed two on Thursday night?
Like he's going to get
another kick after that? No, it looked like he's going to throw up.
Don't give up on the kicker after one game. That's just foolishness.
Ridiculous.
But he didn't look too confident. I'll say that. And we sat there and we said, it's all well and good in the preseason, but when it comes time to make him in the regular season, can he do it? That was the question.
I agree, and that's a fair statement, Pete.
And to answer that question, right now, not after yet. One game, he hadn't proved that he could make
not
it.
Not yet?
No.
Let's go to Elliot in San Marco to talk wide receivers. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Pete, as usual, you're wrong.
Usual? I'm always
I'm
right. What are you talking
watching
about?
I'm sitting here watching the tape, and it's execution.
Love the tape part. Yep, you're right.
I mean, he hits Allen Robinson dead in the hands on that first third down in the first
period.
Can't
argue with that.
He catches that ball, and Yeldon's off to the races on the next play because they ran the ball great. And when Joker went down, all of a sudden, we got a problem. Go back and watch the whole first
They didn't
first
run
half.
The ball great.
They ran the,
they
heck
ran the
out
ball.
Of the football.
They ran the ball pretty well. They didn't run it.
Allen Robinson was 1 for 6. He was targeted 6 times. He's got to make those plays. He's got to
be
his man and make the ones that need to be caught.
I'm not going to argue with you on that, but they didn't run the ball great.
It's an execution thing. But if these guys are catching the football, that defense can't come up in the run game. They've got to respect us to be able to throw the football, but you got to catch the football for anybody to respect your passing game. And that's not a coaching issue. That's not an offensive coordinator issue. That's a go-do-your-job issue.
Ooh. Oh, Belichick showed up.
Wow.
I like it.
I like it. It's a great call. That's best call of the year.
Call. How about that?
Belichick.
He just called you out, Pete.
Best call of the year.
Well, he didn't call me out.
Yeah, he did, Pete. He said you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Well,
you're wrong. Is what
then
he
he's entitled to his wrong opinion just like the rest of you are.
For the record, the Jaguars had 13 carries, 70 yards in the first half. 5.4 average. That includes Bortles 4 carries in the first
what
half.
Bortles at? 4 for what?
26.
Okay, so take those away and you got what?
I'm
9 for 50 47.
It's pretty good.
9
it's
for 47.
Good. It's pretty good. I said they ran the ball pretty well.
Yeldon 7 for 34, 4.9 average in the first half.
So he's going to be a good back. He has the look of a really good back. And look, I'm all
could
for running
it,
the ball.
Could you see it in his eyes, Pete?
No, I don't. I think that's one of the greatest. That goes along the lines of after a game when a guy's shaking hands and laughing after a game and everybody gets all mad about that.
I can see it in his eyes. He's not ready.
But I'll say, Tony, when you look at him after the missed kick, he looked a little shaken. I mean, nobody, you can't deny that.
But wouldn't you be shaken too? I mean, you just missed a big kick in the NFL. You're a first-year player. You haven't played a game. Yeah. Right?
Pete doesn't care.
I care because that's my job.
As long as he's getting a paycheck Monday, he's good.
Yeah, but he might not be getting one in a week if he does that again, though. I mean, yes, I would care, but I wouldn't be shaken, I don't think. I'd like to think that I wouldn't be shaken. I'd come back and make the next one, and he was shaken, and then he missed the extra point. And now you're even more of a guy who's a little shaky. So there's concern there. You can't just dismiss that, Tony.
Pete, I said I agreed with you on the kicker. I was making fun of the guy who said I saw it in his eyes. That's all.
Okay. I can't see your eyes right now, Pete, so I can't tell if you're...
If you saw my eyes, you know I'm not shaking.
Well, okay. Easy enough. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1. We'll go back to the phone lines. Let's go down, actually.
Yeah, let's keep going. Come on.
Yeah, I love this. This is fun tonight.
Hit the button. Just hit the button. Who cares who it is? Just hit the button.
Robert and Yuli is who it is to talk about turnovers. Good evening, Robert.
Hey, how are y'all guys doing?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Here's the issue that I see. Is I watched multiple games yesterday, watched the first game on Thursday, and you've got teams like the Broncos, teams like the Cowboys that turned the ball over yesterday and still came back and won the games. Their quarterbacks had terrible games. Romo, they want to praise him for all of this stuff, but he threw terrible interceptions.
I must have missed
coverage,
that.
And they still won the game, and that's what I don't see from the Jags. I don't see other people on that team rising up when the play gets turned over.
Let me just jump in here real quick. All right, this is a fact now, and I don't have the exact numbers in here with me, but if you lose the turnover battle in the NFL, the majority of the time you lose the football game.
Correct.
Ooh, wow.
That's a fact.
But, so I don't know what you're talking about, all these other teams. I'm just telling you, in the history of the NFL.
But what he's saying, Tony, is the Cowboys turned the ball over at the end of the half.
Yeah, but we'll get into that.
But they were able to bounce back and respond
right.
to
yeah.
it.
You know why, Pete? Because it was one of the worst clock management
well, yeah.
things in the history of the game.
But, true.
But what about Denver?
What about Denver? Their defense.
Denver.
Their offense was awful. They couldn't get out of their own way. The defense is one of the top five defenses in the league.
Exactly, but Peyton Manning turned the ball over, and they
exactly
lost the turnover
what?
Battle and still won the game.
Yeah, because Steve Smith dropped a touchdown in the end zone to win it.
Exactly, but they
exactly
still won
what?
The game.
Give me a break. You're going to go off one game? I got the history of the NFL. History.
You got the history of the NFL.
Yeah, you know what it says when you lose. Yeah, guess what? The history.
Jags flub it up again.
Oh,
yesterday.
Give me a break. You're not even. It's nonsensical. Come on, history of the NFL. You lose
it's
the
not,
turnover.
It's
yes,
not nonsensical. It's you looking at it with Jaguar glasses.
Yeah.
And not.
Yeah, that's
other
right.
Team do
yeah,
the same
I'm looking. At, I'm looking at.
Win.
I'm looking at the history of the NFL with Jaguar glasses. That's right. When you lose the turnover battle, ask Pete. He doesn't care about anybody but himself, and he'll agree with me.
Yeah,
if
you,
you
lose
the
turnover
battle, you lose the game.
Most
more
of
times
the time,
than that,
you lose the game, yes.
We appreciate the call today.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
See, everybody's jumping on the Jaguar glasses now that I brought that up.
I know. It's a good line.
I mean, you're going to use the Broncos.
That was one of the worst
offensive performances ever. And they got bailed out because Steve Smith dropped a touchdown.
On both sides of the ball, by the way, for both those offenses in that game. Awful.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's get to one more before the break.
Oh, hey, real quick, Pete.
Three and out.
Three and out, Pete. And they threw the ball. They threw the ball, Pete.
Yeah,
and they're
well,
three and out.
Yeah, well, you had a guy wide open. Your quarterback can't hit him. It's a problem. Did you see it?
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Eagles yeah, well, was he not open? Does he have to throw that one to the outside? Maybe it's a big play? It's easy throw.
Wow. Play. There you go. All right, Kevin on the south side wants to talk about Paul Posluszny. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, bud. I just wanted to. You know, I got a comment question. The comment is, can we somebody just, you know, acknowledge that thank God we got Paul Posluszny on the defense every weekend, a week out for the last, since he's been here, shows up and, you know, makes a play for us. And I really appreciate that. And I really feel like somebody needs to appreciate him. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, other defensive players. Why don't we just bring up him?
He's a good football player.
Nine tackles, the interception, two passes.
Yeah, he's a good football player. He is.
And my question is for Tony. Being that you, you know, a former player, can you threaten the wide receivers to catch a ball with, you know, cutting them or telling somebody that people off the streets can catch the ball? Why can't you? We'll get rid of you. Is that something that would work on threatening somebody?
Yeah, not really, because yeah, if there was guys that they thought were better on the street, they'd be on the team.
Yeah, that's right.
It just doesn't.
And think about it; it's a weak position, anyways, right?
I mean, the reality is if they're better guys, they'd go get them.
Yeah, it's not a good position on that team as is. So who are you cutting? You're going to cut and get worse? You're going to go from average to below average. You can't cut anybody.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. One more segment of phone calls coming up. Follow the Jags to London. They'll face the Bills at Wembley October 25th. Great packages available direct from the league. Visit NFLonlocation.com or call 866-890-1799 for more information. More of your calls after the break. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Enjoy an amazing view of the field and air-conditioned comfort with the new private Terrace Suite Chalets in the Terrace Suite, south end zone here at Everbank. Great for entertaining clients and business partners. Top-notch hospitality. These chalets will sell out. Visit the Jaguars Black section of Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. Jaguars Monday rolls along. The day after the Jags fall to the Panthers in week 120-9, JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida tonight with us.
Hey, Pete, should we take more calls?
Yeah, this is fun today, man. We, you know what? It's weird, but when we do the show, it's, I hate to say this, but it's much more fun to do when they lose.
No, it's not. Come on, Pete.
No, I mean, the show isn't more fun to do, but the callers are more fun. They're animated. They're angry. When they're going well, like, if they upset Miami next week, which is a possibility, you think we're going to get people calling in saying, hey, that was a great game. You think that was a great game? No.
We'll just listen. I'd like to find out.
And you know what? You may, because that's the way this league is. Things turn around in a hurry.
Here we go to the phone lines, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Dwayne is in Green Cove Springs. Hello, Dwayne.
Yeah, I just want to say, can we just chalk it up and say that they played a decent veteran Carolina Panthers team? Because you got to think about it, Benjamin wasn't there. So, hey, can we just move on from that? Maybe they'd do better against Miami.
Hey, good idea. How about
great.
That?
Yeah, I hope so. Next call.
Take long, Pete.
I mean, I don't know what we're supposed to say to that.
Yeah, what do you say? I don't know what he was
saying.
Okay,
that's great. That's good.
What were you supposed to say? No, they're not going to move on? They're going to show up and play, I think, don't you?
I mean, hope so. It'd be really boring if they don't.
Yeah, well, it'd be a forfeit.
I guess they've already moved on. Alan is in Arlington. Good evening, Alan.
Hey, good evening, guys. For several years, as I sat and watched the Jaguars, even when they would do something good on offense, it was almost like pulling teeth. I mean, I was sitting there in agony watching this and going, it's like everything was in slow motion. And I sat there in the stadium yesterday, had the same feeling, was walking into the gym today, friend was walking out, we talked about the game. He's not even a Jaguar fan, but he watches a lot of football, and he said almost the same identical thing to me. It's just like they're in slow motion.
They're not fast. They're not fast. That's not a fast football team in any way, shape, or form. That is not a fast football team. Even you would admit that, Tony.
Oh, I 100%.
And that shows up.
Well, again, it's hard to fix that in the middle of the season, right?
Oh, you don't fix it in the middle of the season. Right. I mean, Marquise Lee brings speed.
Right. He'll help. He'll help if he gets back. Is he supposed to play this week?
He's going to practice this
tomorrow.
Week.
Yeah, or Wednesday.
He'll be on the field Wednesday.
So there will be an albino tiger sighting.
Sighting outside of the cave, yes. He'll be roaming around. So, and he said it's a good possibility he could play this week. So we'll see. That's good.
Well, and here's the thing about him. Too much is being expected of him. You know, we've got to that point now, right, Tony? I mean, think about it. Everybody thinks, oh, Marquise Lee will come back, and there's the speed. They're going to be great on offense all of a sudden. There's too much expected of him. He has the ability. I'm not going to say he doesn't. I think if he's on the field, he has a chance to be a really good receiver. But it's not like he's just going to show up and that's going to fix everything.
No, and you got to realize, even if he plays this week, he's going to have a limited package. They're not going to put him in for everything. They'll have a handful of formations and packages and plays they have for him to be a part of, but it's not going to be an extensive look.
And they need him in there. I mean, I don't care what anybody says, that the speed of the offense is not there, and he will help fix that. And let's not forget they're playing without Julius Thomas too. I mean, that's another big missing piece in case anybody's
big.
Wondering.
It's huge. Best player on offense.
Right. So, you know, people just dismiss that. Oh well, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they didn't do that. And I'm critical as anybody, but they don't have Julius Thomas. He's the number one weapon.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Derek on the west side to talk wide receivers. What's up, Derek?
Hey, hello, Pete. Overtime friend. This is Derek. Listen.
Hey, how are you?
We're close to Jimmy Smith and McCartney ever since they retired and left Miami. We need to draft a receiver in the first round. We should have got Amari Cooper this year. And we just need talent, man. What we see out there, we had all the money to spend in the offseason. I mean, it looked like we were about to die. We don't have nothing.
It's hard to hear you.
He was saying Amari Cooper.
It's not like we haven't drafted receivers in the first round since Jimmy and Keenan retired either.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, is if they drafted a pass rusher. They needed to get a pass rusher. He got hurt. You can't fault him for taking Dante Fowler. And let's slow the roll on Amari Cooper. I mean, it wasn't like he lit things up yesterday either. I mean, he's going to be a good player. But you can't fix everything overnight. And the more pressing need last year when they drafted was pass rusher.
Hey, Pete, 2-3 and outs with the hurry-up Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm not.
Will they run pass?
I'm with you on
hurry Chip. Up, hurry up. Let's go faster. Oh,
Tony,
faster I'm, 3 and out.
I'm with you on Chip Kelly, by the way. You know, people want to put a bust for him already. He hadn't even won a damn playoff game yet.
I agree with you.
Carolyn is on the north side. Good evening, Carolyn.
Let's bring some class to this radio show.
Yes, sir. I would like to talk about the foreplay of the wide receivers. It's a shame how Allen Robinson's carrying on. because he's dropping passes, and it's a shame. And Allen Hurns, they don't know how to run routes. And I do think Brian Walters is our best bet at this time. But I can't hardly wait till Julius Thomas get back. Now, how long can we go on like this, dropping all these balls like this here? It's a shame.
It is
Carolina. Not a bad quarterback. They make Blake Bortles look bad.
Listen.
You're true. That's true.
It's a very good point. And I'll say this. She brings up Brian Walters.
Yeah.
Pete, if you're going to get a guy, I mean, we saw preseason. I know it was preseason. But Brian Walters is going to catch the ball. And he's going to run.
Is he going to get open?
Well, he runs good routes.
Yeah, is he going to get open?
That's against zone. Against zone, he can get open. Find the soft spot.
Who's he playing over, Tony?
I'm not saying, but Carolyn makes a good point. You got to find guys who are going to catch the ball consistently. And listen, this was an issue during the preseason as well. A lot of drops in the preseason.
Well, they have one of the best receiver coaches in the league, supposedly, in Jerry Sullivan.
He's very good.
So then why aren't they catching the ball?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, isn't that a legitimate question?
It's a very good question. I don't know why. I don't understand if you're a receiver. I mean, I'm not saying you're gonna drop some balls, but this has been a problem all preseason, and it carried over into the regular season.
Yeah, and it's got to get fixed, or else they're gonna have big problems. And but don't, you know? Yeah, the drop passes happen, but Blake had his share of issues in that game as well.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah, blame's gonna go around. Blame is going around tonight.
Hit a button
to the phone lines. Let's go, Joe at the beaches. Good evening, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, man. What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to give a shout-out to my dad, Steve, listening, 1010XL, father-son duo. Love you guys.
That's nice.
Rome wasn't built in a day. Anyone who's a real fan is going to stay a fan. It's one game. Let's not be over-dramatic. I'm going to take it off the air with two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! Okay, well, I like it. Sergio Brown's here.
There you go. Rome wasn't built in a day, but after 2.5 years, there was some kind of foundation going up, wasn't there? I mean, you know, that's the thing that fans get.
Wow.
Well, but fans get frustrated.
History,
I mean, they do.
History lesson by Pete Briscoe.
Well, I didn't do very well in that subject.
Yeah, I don't think you did very well in most subjects.
No, I was.
That's why you went to Arizona State.
Harvard of the West. What are you talking about?
Harvard of the West.
Yeah.
Right. I thought it was a. Never mind.
Hey, ASU has good schools. I hate to tell you that.
Whatever. Tony. Let's move on.
Yeah, go look it up. Go look it up, Mr. Got free grade because I played on the football team.
I never got a free grade in my entire life.
I mean, I could. You know what I could do right now? I could take a report card, like a piece of paper, and write 5 A's on it and hand it out and say, here's Tony Baselli's report card. This was Rob Johnson's report card. This was everybody at USC's report card because they gave you grades.
That's not true. Never happened, Pete. Never.
Yeah, okay. Just like you never got any money under the table
either. Nope, never.
Okay. All right. Lie detector. Just went off like every question.
You're unbelievable. You know that. I mean, you're so full of it. You say things like they're fact, and it's not.
Nobody.
Typical media guy. Let's go to the next call.
No, typical realist. Nobody at USC got free grades and didn't have to go to class?
I didn't.
Ever?
I went to class.
Indeed.
Oh, is this coming from an Alabama guy?
I went to every class, okay?
You didn't play football either.
Hey, you know what? I didn't play football either, but I didn't go to every class. I'll be the first one to admit that.
And it's obvious.
And you did. You played football, but you went to every class.
Never missed a class.
Model student.
In my entire college career.
Model student athlete.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Mac, every class.
Final
even
call
when it was really nice out.
Of the evening is Mac on the north side. Good evening, Mac. Good evening.
What's up, guys?
Hello, what's up?
Hey, man, I got a couple of comments I want to make. First of all, I know you guys are familiar with Bonanza. Tony, you're a little young, so you might not know a little bit about it. But we need some more Hoffas, man. We got a bunch of Adams and Little Joe.
Yeah.
And,
wow. Good point. Look at that. I do know what Bonanza is. Thank you very much.
You got a bunch of Adams and Little Joes, man. And you don't have a number one receiver. We got a 2A, or maybe a 2 and a 3. But you know, there's nobody that can take the top off the defense. That's why the defenders squat. They sit on the route. And they can jump those routes, man. Even if the pass is late, no, he shouldn't throw. He's throwing them because they're squatting. They're squatting the routes, and they know he's gonna throw them. You know what? Number two, we have Heartbreak Hearn, and you know why I call him Heartbreak? You know why I call him Heartbreak? Because he's gonna break your heart in the game. He's gonna fumble. He's gonna drop a wide open pass, or you know what I'm saying? He's like an old girlfriend. He's gonna make you feel good sometimes, but he's gonna mess you up in the end. And he needs to get a little bit more consistent, you know? So
Man, there's a lot I got to digest in this call.
Yeah. Who's Sheriff Roy, by the way?
We need more Hosses, less Little Joes.
Yeah, you got it.
More Hosses. Okay, I got that part. Then Alan Hearns is like an old girlfriend. She'll make you feel good, but then she's going to break your heart then.
He's a heartbreaker.
Wait a second. He's an undrafted free agent, okay? And, yeah, he did some good things last year, but let's step back from it for a second. He's an undrafted free agent. That's what he is.
Yeah.
Does he get a check? You get paid every Tuesday, right?
I know, but you're expecting him to be.
Does he get paid to catch football? I mean, does he get paid to catch football?
You're expecting him to be Jimmy. You're expecting him to be Julio Jones, and he's an undrafted free agent, okay?
Pete, I expect a wide receiver to catch passes. I mean, am I asking too much?
No, you're not. He should catch his passes. No, but I mean,
catch him. You're wide open. They hit you in the hand.
Yeah, look, I agree.
Man, if you touch it, you're supposed to catch it. And we wasn't playing for money. We wasn't playing for fame. We were just playing just to be able to play. And these guys are getting paid. I mean, catch the football, man.
I'm not arguing with you on that, but before you start holding him up to the standard of
need
being –
more Hosses.
Yeah, more Hosses. He's not a Hoss.
I mean, he's no AJ Green. He's no Megatron. He is who he is.
I love it. No AJ Green, no Megatron.
He's paid to catch footballs regardless. You know what I'm saying? If you don't catch footballs and you're a wide receiver, that means you're derelict in your duty, right? I mean, if you don't catch, that's what he's supposed to do. That's what they got there. He's not a running back.
Yeah, you got to catch the football. I give you that. But you're trying to make him into something he's not, and that's not being.
But I'm gonna say, look, I'm gonna stop at this, man. Hey, man, I'm a Jaguar fan to the day I die, so it doesn't matter. But hey, man, I can expect better.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Who's Hop Singh in this whole bonanza? You remember the cook? Yeah, Joe Fortunato.
Joe.
I guess. Well done. Hey, nice. It is bonanza. This is a bonanza, for sure. It's Jaguars Monday. We'll look around the National Football League when we come back. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I thought that as an offense, we played very cautiously. You know, we didn't want to make mistakes. I thought that some of the things that we saw in practice carried over to the preseason. In practice, we saw him do a bunch of really good things, winning the preseason games. Those things carried over to the preseason games. And I think, our hope and our thought was that it would carry over the regular season, and it didn't. It didn't carry over to the game.
Head coach Gus Bradley, earlier today, the day after the Jags fall in week one, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco on Jaguars Monday. That's our final thought on the Jaguars this evening. So it's time for a look around the National Football League in week one, and we start with the Dallas Cowboys. A wild comeback last night. Des Bryant's out for a few weeks with a broken bone in his foot now, surgery tomorrow. But you guys mentioned earlier, the clock management by the Giants towards the end of that game set the table for Tony Romo and Dallas to come back.
Pete, I was fine with. First of all, if I was coaching, I would have run it four times. And even if you get stopped on the last fourth down, they're going to get the ball on the 1 yard line with 50 seconds left.
You know what? I thought about that too, and I tend to agree with you, Tony. And I certainly wouldn't have thrown it.
Well, and if you're going to throw it, the last thing you tell Eli Manning is if it's not there, take a knee.
And Ben McAdoo made the call, Coughlin said, but Eli Manning has been in two Super Bowls and won two Super Bowls. He's got to know better than that. I mean, you know, can't you just envision his brother going down, taking a knee and sliding or something? Eli just doesn't do things like that. It was a weird thing. But I want to say this about the end of that game. The NFL has a really stupid rule, and it cost the Giants a game. And the rule is this. Eli Manning completed a pass to Odell Beckham down to the 4-yard line for a first and goal with a minute 50 left in the game. But the Giants were offsides, and when they declined the penalty because obviously the ball was in play, and the rule is instead of starting the clock.
Pete, I think that was on the other side of the 2-minute warning, though.
No, it wasn't, Tony.
You sure?
Yeah, it was not. Okay. And so they would have had to use a timeout or let 40 seconds go off. But instead of starting the clock, Tony, they held the clock, because that's the rule, until the ball was snapped. So, essentially, the Cowboys got a free timeout out of being offsides on a penalty that was negated and they declined.
I always thought if it was a defensive penalty and you, I thought the clock started once it was put back in play.
Because I posted the rule online actually last night on Twitter, and I went back and looked it up. It's in the final 5 minutes of the game and the final 2 minutes of the half, if there is a penalty on anybody and it's declined, even in that situation, the clock will be stopped. So to me, that gave the Cowboys an extra free timeout, because it would have been it should have been first down, minute 54, run. Either they call timeout. If they don't call the timeout, then the clock runs. They call timeout with a minute 10. Then they call another one with a minute 8. Then the last play, you might run it. You would run it there, right? So you run it. Yeah. Then you might run it again, because then it gets down to 20 seconds and no timeout.
Yeah, but even if even with that, you're right, Pete. That's a goofy rule.
Have your guys jump off sides. You get a free timeout.
Well, I would have just run the ball four times. I don't understand that. Run it four times.
If it's third and 12, right,
yep,
and the clock is running, have your guy jump off sides. They get a free play. They might score a touchdown or whatever, but you get a free timeout. It's a free timeout. It makes no sense. The time is more valuable than the yardage in that situation.
In that situation, you're right. But I was shocked, back to the game, I was shocked. Because Tom's a good coach and he prides himself on being good in situations like that, and not to tell your quarterback, or maybe they did and Eli just choked for whatever reason. At worst case scenario, they could have kicked the ball at a 6-point lead and kickoff, and the Giants have 50 seconds, no timeouts, to go the length of the field. And that game is over.
You run it twice, and you might score, but if not, then you're on the 1 yard line.
And they have 50 seconds to go to get into field goal range, and worst case scenario, you're going to overtime.
Right. I tend to agree with you. I think I might have run it twice there, but they were victimized by the clock. I mean, by the rule. It's
yeah, but you can't control that. What you can control is managing the game the right way, and they did not.
But I thought everybody missed. I mean, it drove me crazy, but they didn't even mention it on TV. Didn't mention it once. Nobody mentioned it.
They didn't mention the fact that Eli should have taken a knee until, you know, 3 or 4 minutes later when the Cowboys were getting ready to score. I'm like, come on, someone say something. What are they doing?
And now moving forward, no Dez Bryant, which they keep saying 4 weeks.
No way. 6 weeks minimum.
Maybe. I mean, that's got to be a long-term. I mean, it's a wide receiver, Tony, with a bad foot.
I agree. I'm saying 6 weeks minimum.
Kevin Durant missed a whole season with that injury, and Julio Jones had the – he had a Jones injury too. He had a screw put in his foot. So I'd be shocked if he's back.
Yeah, but this is it's not Liz Frank, which is much worse, but it's the fifth metatarsal. Metatarsal.
Yeah, that's a bad injury.
It's a bad injury. He has to have surgery. I think that is the biggest losses of week one were either Dez Bryant or Terrell Suggs.
Right.
And I think it's Dez Bryant, because I don't think the Ravens were getting to the Super Bowl no matter what. I think the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender, and the way you defend the Cowboys changes with Dez Bryant off the field. The way you play the Ravens, I mean, they have Elvis Dumervil, they have the young rookie, they got a couple guys who can get after the quarterback even without Suggs, and Suggs is an older player. I think that Dez Bryant is the worst injury of anyone coming out of week one.
Yeah, that's a damning blow, particularly when your team that – wants to run the ball and hit big chunks down the field and behind that offensive line. So, look, that was a bad loss for the Giants. It's a good win for the Cowboys, but a big loss for the Cowboys losing Dez Bryant, no question about it.
You mentioned the offensive line. You were going to talk about that earlier.
Oh, yeah,
Tyrann
Smith. I watched him the entire game, and he was dominant last night. Now, listen, the Giants have a great pass rusher, but he was great pass blocking, and he was throwing people around in the run game. Right now, he is the best left tackle in football, Pete.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. He's technically sound, too, and he's just a kid. I mean, that's the amazing thing.
He has a chance to be a great one.
Has a chance to be really, really good.
For Tyrann Smith, my goodness. Gosh, he was fun to watch. I enjoyed – it's funny. I don't do this every game, but there's certain games – I just watch the offensive line. In this case, I was watching the left tackle, and I'd catch the replay what happened to other places. He was fun to watch.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed watching some good offensive line play, because the offensive line play around the league was putrid again yesterday.
That kid from New York's going to be a pretty good player too, Eric Flowers.
Yeah, Flowers.
He's not bad.
Yeah, Tom told me in camp that he was going to be a good player.
Yeah, he has a chance. He has a little fight to him. He's nasty. I like him.
What about Mincy's penalty, by the way?
Oh, you're talking about idiotic? Oh, my gosh.
And then he goes to the sideline. He goes, that's me. That's me. No kidding.
Yeah, thanks, Mince. We didn't realize that.
But the offensive line play, I watched the Seattle-St. Louis game, and it was on in front of me, right in front of me. And I'll tell you what, I you know me. I criticized Russell Wilson, but I felt bad for him yesterday. It was criminal, the beating he took. And Marshawn Lynch.
Now, that's a good defensive line, though.
Really good. But, Tony, that's been a really good defensive line, and it's – but it was even more – every Marshawn Lynch would get the ball, and it would be four guys in his leg. I mean, it was just
– how'd they score 34 points in? Or 31? Well, how'd they score 31?
Lockett had a kick return for a touchdown. Then they had – I'm trying to think how else they got their points. I mean, the kick return was the big play for them. I'm trying to think.
They played better in the second half.
Oh, they had a turnover that led to a short field for a touchdown. And they got it going a little bit in the second half. But, I mean, for the most part, he was sacked six times. If it wasn't for his ability to move around, it could have been 12. And Marshawn Lynch took a pounding. And he usually administers the beating, but he was the one that was taking the pounding.
Talk to me about the end of that Seattle game, Pete, because Pete Carroll came out when it was first reported that, you know, I was watching the feed and paying attention to what was said online that they tried an onside kick.
No.
Pete's saying it was just a miss-hit ball.
Yeah, or it should have been a pooch kick because they had already kicked, you know, they didn't want to kick it deep because Austin had already blistered him for a touchdown on the special teams. But, look, this it's not that bad a strategy to kick it onside there with that defense, and I'll tell you why. Now, most people will say you kick it deep, pin him in, you get the ball back, and – you know, you go in and get your own field goal and win it. But if you kick it and it's an onside kick and you get it, then you go get a field goal, the game's over, A. B, if you don't get it, your defense is so good, you're thinking, okay, they hold them to a field goal, which they did anyways, and you get the ball now to go get your chance to go get a field goal. So there's a little bit of strategy there. I don't think he did it on purpose, but it's not
awful.
Well,
he said he didn't.
I know, but it's not awful to do it anyways, if you really think about it and boil it down and analyze it. Because you got, if you have a bad defense, it's an awful strategy because they'll go in and score a touchdown. But you got a great defense, so you're not gonna, you don't think they're gonna go get a touchdown. You'll get the ball anyways. And if you recover the onside kick, they don't ever get the ball. You go in and get a field goal.
Two more questions about that game. Overtime, Seattle gets the ball back. They're in field goal range. They go for a fourth and one. Why don't you kick the field goal there? I don't understand that.
That was a bad decision. You kicked the field goal and extended it. Now, it would have been a long, long field goal, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't it like at the – would have been – but it's Hauschka. He's inside. You should have kicked the field goal.
And then the last thing is, how'd that Seattle defense look without Cam Chancellor?
Well, Deion Bailey's the one who gave up the touchdown to Lance Kedricks. He kind of tripped on himself, so everybody's saying. They you know what they didn't look like, Tony? They didn't look like they had the same swagger without Chancellor in the run game, you know? And it's not like they ran the ball that well, but you know how when – when you run against Seattle, when Chancellor's in the game, if you cut back, he's there. That's what he is. He's a linebacker in there. And so they didn't look like they had the same swagger. Now they have to go to Green Bay this weekend.
Couple more thoughts before our final timeout. Broncos without an offensive touchdown. Peyton had similar numbers to Blake yesterday. 24-40, 175, an interception, sacked four times in the game. What's up with Peyton, Pete?
Well, he's miscast for one. It's almost like Kubiak's trying to fit, you know, the round into the square, and it just doesn't work. The bottom line is, Peyton's not a guy who's going to be good moving outside the pocket. And there was one rollout yesterday, and I said he looked like a baby giraffe trying to take his first steps. I mean, that's how bad it looked. And there was a guy on the crossing route wide open, but Peyton's gangly and not setting his feet, and the ball, you know, came incomplete 6 yards in front of the guy. It was a terrible throw. But he's bootlegging him to his left, which, you know, talking to Brady Quinn today, a lot of teams don't even let their quarterback bootleg to the left if he's right-handed. And you, all of a sudden you got Peyton doing that. Peyton's best weapon is his mind. And when you do that, you're taking away his mind, his pre-snap read. And so I think that's the biggest problem. Now, we'll see. I have a sneaky suspicion, guys, that when they go to Kansas City this week, Peyton's going to be the coach. In other words, we've seen that before, right, Tony? Where Peyton takes over, this is my team, we're going to play the way I need to play, period.
Yeah, I mean, I've said from the start, I mean, I know that Elway likes the Kubiak system. That's basically the system he won two Super Bowls in with Terrell Davis and moving the pocket and doing stuff like that. It's a complete misfit if Peyton manages to be your quarterback. I mean, you almost have, if you're going to make that hire, you almost have to say, listen, Peyton, it's time to retire.
Yeah, because
you can't run that offense with Peyton Manning.
John Elway could move.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
And when Kubiak played in it, he could move. I mean, the guys can move and Matt Schaub. But see, that's the thing. Are they turning Peyton Manning into Matt Schaub? That's the scary thing of it.
I mean, well, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, but his best, you know, his best weapon is his mind.
I agree,
and
Pete.
You take his mind out.
I don't like the offense at all. But one last thing before we go to this last break. Another three and out for your hurry up Eagles.
No, they actually got a first down, I thought, in that one.
No, they didn't.
No. Hey, I'm not – hey, Tony, I'm not the guy who sits here and annoys – I'm the biggest Chip Kelly critic of all. I'm just saying play fast. That not doesn't mean you play just like the Eagles, but play fast. Chip Kelly, to me, is – everybody wants to put him in the hole, like I said. Win a damn playoff game before you start.
I think your quote was, look at Philly. They play fast and run the ball. They were second in rushing last year. I just think
those
that
are,
was
– those
that,
are facts.
I think that was your quote.
And you know what? They're facts.
Thanks, B. We got to go to break.
They're facts.
When we return, quick look around the AFC South. We'll pick these Monday night games as well. Final segment of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Not too late to get season tickets for 2015, as low as $19 a game. Season tickets include behind-the-scenes access, incredible year-round events, and valuable rewards. Visit jaguars.com/more today. Hey, Pete, did you know Tony knows everything?
Oh, yeah, I know he does.
Yeah, you know, just ask him. He'll tell you.
I just sent out a tweet. Is Chip's bus ready yet?
Oh, you're gonna get all the Eagle fans and all your media brethren that have already anointed them.
The media loves Chip Kelly, don't they? I mean, he's just innovative. He makes them eat the right things. Tony, Tom Coughlin was doing that to you guys back in the day. Remember?
Yeah, I was eating McDonald's.
Yeah, but he was trying to get you to eat the right thing.
No, I always go back to it. I'm not listen. All that stuff. I'm sure it has a place, and I'm sure nutrition's important. And all that stuff. But I thought we played just fine eating whatever the heck we wanted.
Yeah, but he wanted you to eat well, but nobody did. That's the point. You don't think these guys go home and eat what they want?
Pete, I don't know anymore. I mean, you get all these people. I mean, you're watching them. They've got all these nutritionists and specialists and sleep, you know, chambers and all this stuff. I mean, I would just go play.
Did you see by the way, have you seen the mask that Marshawn Lynch warms up with? It looks like Silence of the Lambs mask, and it's like a breathing apparatus to make your lungs stronger or something.
Yeah, great.
You know, I once put one of those on, Tony, just to see what it was like.
Yeah, you got fatter?
No, you know what I did? I thought I was choking to death. It's unbelievable. Why would you want to feel that way?
I don't know. Listen, I'm sure there's a place for it, and all the nutritionists listening to our show right now probably think I'm an idiot, and I'm fat, and I'm out of shape, so maybe I should do what they do.
Yes.
But
you had a good week. What are you talking about? You said you were going to
have nah. You should have seen him hammering this food a second ago.
No, but it was healthy food. I had I ended up having a bad week, Pete. Bad week. I had like four cookies yesterday at the game.
Bad week.
Pancakes. Yeah. God, it was great.
My week wasn't so great. Good. I can't sit here and say my week was great either.
I had such a bad week. What else? I had. Oh, it's great, though.
Let's finish with a quick look around the AFC South in week one. Houston head coach Bill O'Brien won't name a starting quarterback for this week's game against Carolina until
Sunday. Because he
doesn't
have one. It's hard to name one when you don't have one.
Who's a quarterback, Pete?
Well, I think he opened himself up to a big situation there. If you picked Hoyer, why not just let him finish the game and play him a couple weeks? Why pick him if he's not your guy? So I think O'Brien's been the guy. He's the problem right there for now. Me, I would have played Mallett from the word get-go because I know what Hoyer is. But this is a bad situation created by Bill O'Brien.
Indianapolis Colts lost to the Bills. T.Y. Hilton left with a knee bruise. He could miss a game or two. Luck with a couple of touchdowns, couple of picks. Not the best to start for Indy.
That's overreaction Monday. If anyone plays too much into this, that the Bills are that good and the Colts are that bad.
Correct.
Listen, the Bills have a great defense. We all knew that. But people are going to figure out Tyrod Taylor and this run, whatever they're doing. And the Bills are going to be the third-place team in the AFC East, and the Colts are going to be one of the better teams in the AFC when it's all said and done.
And they ran into an ambush. Opening day ambush.
No, yeah, listen, they have great defense. They're a great defense.
In the second half, I think we started to see a little bit of the real Tyrod Taylor. He just didn't look like the same guy he was in the first half. So Bill Belichick has 10 days to get ready for Tyrod Taylor. I don't.
Where's the game at?
Buffalo.
It'll be 17-3 Patriots.
Yeah, I think they might get a couple more points than that. But
okay, 24-3.
Yeah, you think it'll be that bad? I don't think it'll be that. 24-10 maybe.
Okay, maybe 10.
All right.
Tennessee Titans, Marcus Mariota, 13 of 16, 209 yards, 4 touchdowns, 42-14 over Tampa Bay.
There's another overreaction Monday, Pete.
Yeah, he's going to be a star, and the other guy's going to be a bust. Yeah. That's the immediate reaction.
Okay, let's just do a little truth serum, a little dose of reality. Jameis Winston doesn't have a chance back there with that offensive line.
No, it's terrible. And you know what? Everybody goes, oh, Mankins. Mankins is terrible now.
Oh,
terrible.
The whole group of them. Oh, my
gosh.
That's
the worst, one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen.
Running for his life. And Mariota, listen, they did a good job. And that offensive line is not bad. The Bucs are not a good team.
And the other thing is you know, they schemed up a couple guys wide open for him. It wasn't hard throws. He's going to be okay, but let's hold off on he's the star and the other guy's a bust. Remember, RG3 was the way to play back in the day, and Andrew Luck was the other guy. How'd that turn out?
Yeah, we used to remember that we had to have that face-off deal, Pete?
Yeah.
I'll go back to 2 years ago. You won that one. You said that was a fad. It would be over. I said it would last a little bit longer. It would be part of the NFL, and I was wrong.
That's one of the many I won.
No, that was the only one you ever won.
Let's pick the Monday Night Football games. The Falcons lead the Eagles 3-0 in the second quarter, 12:42 to play. Who you got tonight, Pete?
I picked Philly. I don't like the pick, I'll be honest with you. I thought, I said on our picks last week, not here, but on our picks here at CBS, I said this is the ultimate trap game because everybody thinks Philly's going to win it, and I put myself right into the trap like everybody else did.
Yeah, I like the Falcons. I think I picked the Eagles, but after watching the first quarter, I'm going with the Falcons.
Yeah. Can we change
yes.
in this stream?
I change. I'm going with the Falcons.
Okay, I'm with the Falcons, too.
How about the 10:15 Eastern game, the Vikings at the 49ers, Pete?
Well, the 49ers are tough on Monday night. I just don't know if they have enough. And so, again, though, everybody's on Minnesota the whole year now, everything. It's a tough road game, but I'll still take Minnesota.
Yeah, I got Minnesota too. And just an update on this first Monday night game, the Mighty Eagles, your up-tempo offense at 35 yards in the first quarter.
Against the supposedly not-so-good Falcons defense too. I said, put Chip Kelly in the Hall of Fame. Get the bus ready. He's innovative. He's creative. He does it all his way. You know what it is? X's and O's are better than Jimmy and Joe's. He gets who he wants, and he doesn't do anything with it. So,
Pete, how about the Vikings game? How many yards does Adrian Peterson have tonight?
107.
I got him at 143.
Wow.
Wow.
He has a big night.
Wow, Tony. Without the center, you know the starting center.
I know that, but
right
that
tackle.
Listen, that 49er defense lost everybody just about. Everybody.
But Navarro Bowman's
okay,
back, though.
Coming off major knee. You read the articles. He's not the same guy. AP
goes
for
guys,
143,
guys,
two touches.
You're getting way carried away. Way carried
Overreaction
away.
Monday. Here we go.
Falcons are going in again as Byron Maxwell, the overpaid corner, just got torched by Roddy White, by the way.
There you have it. Monday Night Picks from Pete Prisco and Tony Baselli. That'll about do it for Jaguars Monday. Pete, well done. We'll talk to you next
week.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fun. Be good this week, Baselli. I know you won't be.
I doubt it.
For Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli, Joe Fortunato, Tad Dickman in Studio 2. This is JP Shadrick. We'll talk to you next week, Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.